Before I forget, there is just one more announcement. Again, there was a typo in the bulletin. It mentions choir practice. Choir practice is still on hold until further notice. Patty, can you bring down my volume just a pinch, please? I'm echoing in my own ear. I think that's good. If not, someone shout out and let Patty know, and she'll turn me back up. I'm sure for most of you who have been in church most of your lives, you'll know prayers can come in many different forms. There can be long prayers. There can be short prayers, prayers that are very specific. And let's be honest, sometimes you don't know where that old preacher's going with his prayers sometimes. But there's one particular prayer in our Bible. It's a very obscure passage in the Bible. And the figure is probably even that much more obscure. A man named Jabez. Jabez is somewhat like the man named Melchizedek that I preached about a couple months ago. In old Melchizedek, he's only in a few places throughout the Bible. But Jabez, this is it for him. He makes his one entrance here, and you never hear about this man ever again. He's mixed right in the middle of a genealogy report, and then his prayer shows up, and then it goes on from there, never to be spoken about again. Well, you didn't have scripture there, so I don't know where it went. Patty, can you find the scripture? I'm going to go ahead and there we go. Praise the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 9 through 10 says this. Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. His mother had named him Jabez, saying, I gave birth to him in pain. Jabez cried out to the Lord God of Israel, oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory. Let your hand be with me and keep me from harm so that I will be free from pain. And God granted his request. This is the word of God for the people of God. Praise be to God. So let's get into a little context here. So who was this fellow named Jabez? Again, from what we can extrapolate from the little bit we know about him from Scripture is this. He was obviously a member of the honored nation of Israel, the Hebrews. We can see even through this prayer that he was a worshiper of the one and only true God of Israel. We can see that his birth is associated with peculiar and unusual sorrow through his mother. And his name was even given by his mother, which is highly unusual because names were usually given by the father, but his mother names him. Scripture tells us that he was more honorable than his brothers. What was that about? He was a man of prayer. Obviously, we read this. What we can extrapolate also from Scripture is that he was an ambitious man. He desired more territory, greater influence, greater responsibility in his time. We learn that his name meant great pain. Obviously now we have to remember back then when they named a child, their name was to give them in essence who they were to the people when they were living in their communities. So whenever Jabez would be in his community walking around, you know, what a more, I don't know if it would be humiliating, but to be known as pain. Imagine walking around, Hi, my name's Payne. I mean, it's bad enough being called Rusty. But Payne, your name represented who you were. But Jabez knew that God had more for him than just pain in his life. God wanted to bless him, or he wanted God to bless him in spite of what his name meant. He knew that God would bless him if he would just ask. Now, Jabez didn't have what we have, and we have the New Testament. He only had the old. And what we can learn from James 4:2 is this. Listen to what Scripture says when we pray. It's about our prayer life. You desire, but you do not have. So you kill. You covet, but you cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. Many times I believe in our lives, we will go many great lengths to get what we want and need in our own ability, in our own power, our own strength. And we get more frustrated and upset because we'll end up failing a lot more than what we accomplish. Have we only taken the time, usually by this time is when we're at the very end of ourselves, then we calm down and we say, maybe I should have prayed about this. Have we only prayed to begin with? Maybe we would have what we've been wanting and asking for. So now that we know a little bit more about this man, Jabez, there are four things that I believe he prayed for that were very specific. So over the next few minutes, we're going to take the time to look at each one of these. And hopefully this prayer can be a model for you, not a formula, just a model in your life. And I believe God wants to take your prayer life and take it to newer levels with him. I think many times, even myself included, sometimes you can get stuck in your prayer life. And you just don't know what to say, how to say it, what prayer should look like. What does God honor all prayers or just some prayers? But I think this is a very good model for us to use. Throughout the scriptures, there's many examples of prayers that can teach us how to depend upon God. Some that can be very inspiring, some can be very challenging as well. And even 2 Timothy is one of these ones. And it says, all scripture is God-breathed. It's useful for teaching, rebuking, training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. And I think part of this prayer of Jabez will help us. It will help us to be equipped for good work. Now, Jabez, again, was not using this prayer as a formula to get something from God, but rather he was calling upon God to help him to accomplish the promises of God. We need to remember how Jesus was in the New Testament, beloved. Jesus said very clearly, he goes, I do not do anything that I do not see my Father in heaven doing. He only desired to do what he saw God the Father doing. So he would pray that thing that he saw God doing, then God would intervene on Jesus' behalf, and Jesus was doing great and mighty things. And I think the same can be said for us as it can be said for Jabez. He learned to find out what the desire of what was already on the heart of God. And then out of that, he just then decided to pray, Lord, this is the desire I see in your heart. Let that be my desire. And then only God can then, and all he can do is then be joyous with that request and then honor it and answer it. And let's go back to the prayer of Jabez. Jabez cried out to the God of Israel, oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory. Let your hand be with me. Keep me from harm so that I will be free from pain. And God granted his request. Now, here's these four lessons I believe we can learn through the prayer of Jabez. The first one being, well, there we go. Bless me, Lord. Oh, that you would bless me. Jabez asked God for a blessing. So we have to ask that question to find what does blessing mean. To bless in the biblical sense means to ask God or ask for God to impart supernatural favor from him. So then we are asking for them to be wonderful, the wonderful unlimited goodness that only can come from God the Father. And he is the only one who has the power to give it. It is through his grace. It's through his unmerited grace that he will give us his desire. In Proverbs 10:22, it says this, the blessing of the Lord brings wealth without pain for toil. Hear that again, beloved. The blessing of the Lord brings wealth without pain for toil. If we can pray the desire of God, he will bring that blessing. And it will be without us having to work and strive for it if we pray his desire. What Jabez was asking for and what we should be asking for is wanting for ourselves nothing more or less than what the scriptures are already telling us to pray for. And that's what God wants for us, beloved. We need to learn to pray the scriptures, for God's very heart is embedded in the word he has given to his people. When we seek God's blessing as the ultimate value in our life, we are then throwing ourselves into the river of his will completely. All of our other needs become secondary to what we really need from the Father, which is to become wholly immersed in what God is trying to do in us and through us and around us for his glory. Beloved, when we sincerely and earnestly seek out God's blessing, our life will become marked by miracles. When we can get out of our own way and let God do what only he can do, then we are praying exactly what he then desires. Secondly, Jabez asked for his territory to be enlarged. So here's the question you need to ask yourself. Are you possibly thinking too small for God, what God wants to do in your life? When Jabez prayed this prayer to enlarge his territory, he was thinking, beloved, more than just the ground that he had inherited. He was thinking more about having a greater influence. He wanted a greater opportunity to speak into the presence of the lives of others around him, that he can serve them. And just like Jabez, beloved, we should want all that God would have for us. That your territory could look different, possibly, than your neighbor sitting beside you. If you're a stay-at-home mom, you could ask God to give you key favor and relationship with your children, your grandchildren, nieces and nephews, cousins, other moms, wherever you live, in the schools where your kids attend, whatever it may be. If you're a businessman, it would be somewhat of the same, but it would be through your business context that the Lord would open up greater opportunity, influence, and favor with those relationships as well. That the Lord would bless your business through you serving him there. Whatever your sphere of influence is, ask God to enlarge your tent. Years ago, when I was serving as a pastor in Pleasant Grove down in southeast Ohio, we had just been here a short time, and I've touched on this a little bit in previous sermons, We were there about 4 months, and I was already pastoring two rural churches, and then I was traveling 48 miles out to Richmond, Ohio, to serve as the associate pastor and youth director there. During that time, I ended up shattering my right leg, right below the knee. I ended up in a hospital bed in our living room for 3 months, no weight bearing. I couldn't even serve the church at that time while I laid healing in the parsonage. I don't plan for that to happen here. Do not want that to happen again. Once was enough. But even before that time, before that accident even had occurred, I was even praying then, because I had studied this prayer. And I was praying, Lord, that you would, I'm already serving three places, but I was praying for God to give me a greater influence, even what I already had. I wanted to see that area of that Southeast Ohio become more under the authority of the Lord. And I was praying and reading this and praying for God's desire that he would grant to me as he granted to Jabez. Well, the long and the short of it is, in July, I end up crushing my right leg. I was no longer able to go 48 miles that one direction. Just couldn't do it. I'm not saying the Lord broke my leg, but my broken leg didn't stop him from intervening and still extending my area of authority and influence. All of a sudden, my phone rang. Superintendent's like, this church just opened. Can you serve there as well? I'm like, but Reverend Winkler, you know, I'm stuck in my living room. He goes, I don't care. Lord can use you. Those people, I ended up serving there. We served there 4 years, I believe. Beautiful relationships, beautiful ministry. But those people would come to me and to Elizabeth, and we would minister until I was back on my feet. I spoke last week about sometimes, you know, we not to let inconvenience get in our way. Because, you know, when we just want our life to be convenient, we're not going to be used. This was a highly inconvenient time, but I was praying for a greater influence. And the Lord heard my prayer, and he granted it. The next thing Jabez prayed for was that, let your hand be with me. Jabez prayed, let your hand be with me. Many of you pray, if not all of you, have heard that term, the hand of God, or the hand of the Lord. And we can see it in multiple places throughout Scripture where the Lord is there and his presence is upon the people. In Joshua 4:24, it says, he did this so that all the people on the earth might know that the hand of the Lord is powerful, and so that you might always fear the Lord. His hand was with them. In Isaiah 59:1, it says, surely the arm of the Lord is not too short to save, nor his ear too dull to hear. Although we may be far from God, God is always near, and he's always close. He's always within the distance to touch us. In Acts, we read, and on chapter 11, the Lord's hand was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned toward the Lord. The Lord was always near. He's always close. Although Jabez, again, didn't have some of these scriptures, I believe he knew the Lord was near. Jabez was so certain that, I believe, God's hand was upon him. It was necessary for the blessing that he couldn't imagine a life of honor without it. And lastly, too far. Me or you? You. How about you? You take it. He prays that you be kept from harm. You would think after everything Jabez has prayed so far, he would be through with his prayer request, but he was not. He had one more request, and his request was for God to keep him from harm. Beloved, when we ask for God's hand to be with us, we are praying for supernatural power to work through our weakness, and asking God to keep us from harm, we are then asking for supernatural protection from the Lord to keep us from the influence of Satan in our lives. Hear this, beloved. When we start to become successful in God, not in our own eyes, but when we pray and God starts to move and things start to take place, that type of success, and in greater when you start to have greater opportunities, more blessings, be for sure as the level of opportunities and success comes in your ministry, also the enemy wants to attack and bring failure along with it. Let it be known, again, as God continues to work in our lives and in your life, the more you should expect to be under attack of the enemy. If there's ever a time, beloved, that you're not under attack, that's the time you should be concerned and asking a question. Then am I really moving in the influence and the power of God the Father? Even Jesus, beloved, if you look at the scripture closely throughout the New Testament, when God is moving, it's either the Pharisees who are attacking or Satan's trying to tempt him, someone's trying to kill him. When we're gaining territory back for God and removing it from the devil's influence, be for sure he's going to come after you. It happens. One of my favorite preachers from the 1800s was a man named Smith Wigglesworth. Any of you heard Smith? There we go. Smith was a character. He was a horseback preacher. And he used to say, one of his quotes was, and I love it, he said, if someone didn't throw rocks at me 3 to 4 times a day while riding my horse, then I was not doing the will of God. He expected to be attacked, because if he was moving in the influence of God, it would anger people. They would get offended, and they would come after him. That's how he knew if he was working under the influence of God or not. That was his opinion. Not that I want you all to throw rocks at me, okay? I'm not saying that. Beloved, you and I are redeemed and commissioned. If you don't know this, you're redeemed and you're commissioned to be on the front lines for God. As soon as you said yes to Jesus, that isn't just your fire insurance just for you to get to heaven. It's for you now to be on the front lines serving God with all your ability and all your heart. To be no different than myself, we are to be in this together. That's why it's important we pray, Father, keep us from harm. We need the Father's protection working in us so that we can continue then to do his will. We are in this battle for the Lord, and we will need to continue to fight to be the who he wants us to be to those in whom he needs us to be ministering to. And the best way to do this is to avoid temptation. This is why we need to continue to keep praying the prayer that the Father taught us to pray, and join me with this. And lead us not into temptation, but to deliver us from the evil one. Through Christ, beloved, we can declare victory over the enemy. That is why we need to declare it every day, God, keep us from harm. It is through Christ that we can live in triumph, not in temptation and defeat. I love the last sentence of verse 10, and it says, and God granted his request. The Message Bible says it this way, and God gave him what he asked for. I'll get ready to close here in a moment. We read in verse 9 that Jabez, it says that he was more honorable than his brothers. Now, do you really think that God liked Jabez more than his brothers? I don't necessarily believe he liked him more. But one thing I do know is that Jabez asked of God, and I believe that God favors those who earnestly seek and ask of his desires. And because of that, God held nothing back from Jabez, who was earnestly seeking after him. And that's why I believe Jabez was honored, because he chose to seek after God. God knew his heart. Like God knew the heart of David, he knew it. Beloved, I want what God wants in my life. And I want for you as well what God wants for you in his life. As I ask God to bless me, I ask God to bless you. As I ask him to enlarge my territory, I ask him to enlarge yours. As I ask for his hand to be upon me to protect me, I ask him to do the same for you. That is what I want for my life, for your life, for my community's life, for my church's life. I believe that is to be able to walk in obedience with the Lord. And if we do that and we know the desire of his heart, then he will and can only then grant our request. Beloved, this reference to Jabez, again, is just a quick little stop in the middle of a bunch of names in the midst of a book and a chapter that many of us don't even know about, but it teaches the endless truth. God blesses those who what? Depend upon him. God blesses those who do not hesitate to ask him for his desire. Beloved, this morning I want you to begin to use this prayer as a model and a guide for your life. And believe that God wants to do some amazing things in and through you for your family and for your community and your church. If only you would ask, God, what is your desire? And help me then, Father God, to have influence and greater opportunity. I believe God will honor that prayer every time. For this is the word of God for the people of God. Praise be to God. If you would pray with me. Our Father, we have come before you now. Lord, sometimes we just, let's be honest, we don't always truly know what is your desire. But Father, we want to see. Lord, if you remove the veil from our eyes of our heart, Lord, that we can truly see, Lord, into the heavenly place to know your desires, Lord, from our family, for our church, for our community, for our city, for our state, our country. Lord, help us, Lord, to be influenced, impacted, Father, by your heart. Lord, you would swing wide that gate, Father God, that we could move, Lord, in your authority to do the things of your will by your power, Father, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.